I'm Mary Jean Banta with the Georgia Department of Education, the College Readiness and Talent Development Group, and we are here for some gifted tips. Today, our guest is Rebecca Blanton, who is the manager of the School Climate Transformation Grant. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to ask a few questions because Rebecca is an expert in social-emotional needs for students, and I have learned from being one of her neighbors at the department that she's just got a wealth of information, so we're going to ask some questions for you today. First of all, what kind of social-emotional needs do students have in today's schools?
Well, in today's schools, I think most teachers are reporting students are having a difficult time with self-regulation. But in addition to what teachers report at the department, we do the student health survey once a year with all students. And the results from that are always so significant, I think. Students are telling us that they are feeling sad and withdrawn. On the 2019 student health survey, the students reported that over 42,000 of them felt sad or withdrawn for 10 to 19 days in a month.
Oh my.
An additional 28,000 students said that they were fearful for 10 to 19 days in a month. And over 25,000 report that they have intense worries between 10 and 19 days each month. And equally significant to those are students who are reporting self-harm. More than 16,000 students reported self-harm on more than five occasions each month. And almost 23,000 students attempted suicide one to two occasions during the school year. And so students are more stressed than ever before. Students in Georgia really are reflecting what the national data tells us, that the suicide rates are up and they're stressed. And our students are having these issues with the schools, I think, being unprepared to deal with them. When we did a survey with school counselors in 2018 to see what the top reasons were for students being referred, the top three reasons were suicidal ideation and self-harm, depression, anxiety, and office discipline referrals. So our students are having a lot of social emotional needs or mental health needs that are not being addressed. And hopefully the Project Aware grant kind of opened a door that talked about mental health clinicians coming into schools. So with that grant, we collaborated with the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities, and they are now in over 500 schools in Georgia. They have mental health clinicians. That's far from all students having access to a mental health clinician, but we're beginning to see that it is more commonplace to talk about the mental well-being or the social-emotional needs of our students.
That's wonderful that you're reaching out to that many, and we're finding that this year, this school year, we were invited to present at the Georgia School Counselors Conference in Augusta, and we're seeing that the blending of different parts of our agency are working together more now, because we are realizing the awareness is great. So if we take this, all of our students in the state, how do you think this applies to our gifted and high ability learners?
Well, the gifted and high ability learners certainly were in the student health survey, and the data that we obtained for that includes what they're reporting as well. Although the student health survey is anonymous, the gifted learners were included. But when we think about gifted learners, we think about those students having a lot of protective factors. And that includes strong academic performance, good problem-solving skills. So those are kind of protective factors that kind of help students weather the storms of life. But the risk factors for our gifted students are that they want to perform. Sometimes they put stress on themselves to perform. Sometimes family members put stress on them to perform. And they internalize feelings so that many times their teachers do not know that these students are suffering. They're the ones who are suffering in silence.
And that's very scary when they don't tell anybody.
It is very scary.
So how do you think these social and emotional concerns impact the gifted student's achievement?
Well, research on all students indicates that if they have unmet or untreated mental health concerns or social emotional needs, that it impacts their student achievement, and it also impacts school attendance. Students who are not feeling mentally or social emotionally well do not go to school. And they miss a lot of school, which impacts academic performance as well.
Now, that's taken another step. How do these social and emotional concerns impact the students' daily lives?
Well, if teachers of these students really want to know who some of these students are, they can check with the school nurse, because what we know about internalizing students is they make frequent trips to the nurse. They have headaches. They have stomach aches, and there's no reason for them. And they also frequently request to go see the school counselor. So they're missing a lot of instruction because they're needing to go see the nurse, or they're needing to go see the student, the school counselor. And so they're missing some instruction. But in addition to that, I am concerned because so many students, we don't know who they are, the internalizing students. At the schoolhouse level, we know who the externalizing students are because they identify themselves. But gifted students, because of the pressure they put on themselves, may not feel comfortable discussing the struggle with an adult.
That you've hit so many things, nail on the head. If there was one concern or issue that seems to be more critical than the others, what would you think that would be?
Well, for a number of years in education, it was felt that the social-emotional needs of students need to be addressed by the home. And now we've come to realize that it's everyone's job, really, to address the social-emotional needs of students. And many times teachers and educators say, but I need to teach the content, and that's what I was trained to do. And that is in fact, is what they were trained to do. And many say, I can't put one more thing on my plate. And here is the way it needs to be reframed. Social emotional wellness is the plate. And you can stack as many content areas on that plate as you can, but if there is a student who is not socially and emotionally regulated and feeling in a good place to learn, they're not going to learn. So that's the way I would like for educators to think about it, that we need to take care of the social emotional needs of the students before we begin instruction.
And I love the inner circle that we have now at the DOE, where it's the whole child.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can individual districts and schools do to support their students?
Well, many districts now have implemented social emotional programs in their district. But I think we have to be deliberate about teaching social emotional skills and be explicit with it. We need to teach the pro-social skills, coping strategies, emotional regulation, and problem solving skills. And many districts have already begun to implement that. And another thing districts could do is implement universal screening. We do screen for things like hearing and vision and academics, but we also need to be screening for the student's social-emotional wellness. And it can be part of an instrument they're already using. Many times, if they have purchased a screening instrument, it has a behavior or social-emotional component. So I see that as something proactive that districts could do. What we discovered with Project Aware, when we were implementing universal screening in three districts, is everyone knew who the externalizing students were, but there was a whole set of students that no one knew who those students were. And these were instruments where students self-reported anxiety, depression. And so by doing screening, you can know what your student population's needs are and offer strategies. If a class of students may be suffering with sadness or being withdrawn, you know, certainly you can come up with strategies to address that. So it's everyone's job to deal with the social emotional needs, I believe, of students. And I would encourage all districts and schools particularly to be very familiar with the student health survey for your specific school, because you can look at the survey and know what percentage of students are reporting mental health needs, and also on that there are protective factors, and those are asked in the form of questions on the student health survey. I feel connected to the school. I know an adult at the school that I can go to if I need help. So it asks about protective factors as well. So I see it as something that would benefit students and reduce the amount of time that teachers are having to deal with students who may need to go to the office or to the nurse or to the school counselor.
That's great advice, and I think one that everybody can do because it's available.
Right.
We just maybe need some professional learning on going over that in the schools. Now, you talked about the districts, the schools. What are we at the DOE doing to support? Now, you mentioned Project Aware. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Project Aware was a five-year grant that has ended, but it was about using three districts to pilot mental health services in schools. So we did universal screening. We had mental health clinicians in those schools. And it really does add a layer of support that everyone saw the value of. And now with APEX, or the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities, continuing to put mental health clinicians in schools, I hope to see more and more schools with mental health clinicians. So what we're doing, though, at the DOE, I'm so glad you asked.
Well, good.
Because when ESSA was rewritten, Georgia put in ESSA that we would be able to use title money for mental health as well as for PBIS in schools. So that was a big step forward for the department. In addition to that, PBIS is available to any district who is interested in becoming a PBIS district. And what you need to know about PBIS is that Tier 2 support involves social groups and self-management groups for students who need a little bit more support than those in Tier 1. So another thing that the department did that I am so excited about was last summer they revised the health standards to include social, emotional, mental health items in them, and it was not just about physical health. And currently, even as we speak, math standards are being revised, and they are going to be including social emotional items in those as well. So it's the time has come for us all to work on the social emotional needs of students. It's not just a program that's done by a specific teachers. All content area teachers need to know how to teach social emotional strategies in their classroom. And in addition to that, we are collaborating again with the Department of Behavioral Health and Developmental Disabilities and bringing on 60 schools to implement Sources of Strength. Sources of Strength is a program, and in schools, what it looks like is a club. But what it is, it involves student leaders, and it helps students learn how to weather life storms and makes them more confident and knowing what to do. It helps them understand how to help a student who may be in distress, and that is being funded by a grant by DBHDD. And the PBIS team is also supporting four schools with bringing on Sources of Strength as a program that will benefit all students, whether it's gifted students, students with special needs, students who have no special concerns, but it teaches them how to self-advocate when they need some help. And so it's a program that is really, really strong. And I'm very excited about all the things that are going on to address the social emotional needs of our students. And my hope is that eventually, beyond the DOE, is that teacher preparation programs will hopefully, in their core curriculum, have the social emotional classes as well. Because all teachers coming out of school need to know that this is an area they need to address. And if we begin to do that, I think we'll make a huge stride in making sure that all students are where they need to be so they can learn.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm so excited to be part of this, because from being a former gifted teacher and a gifted district coordinator, I saw the need for that social-emotional. The old myth that mm-hmm. the gifted kids are going to get it anyway mm-hmm. is a true myth. Mm-hmm. And they all need to have this social and emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. And I think just mm-hmm. having this little podcast, we're making more people aware that we're all working on this together. It takes a village, and we're part of the village that's working for the mental health of our students.
Well, a very wise man once named Aristotle said, educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. And that's what we're hoping to do, is to educate the heart as well as the mind.
And that's a perfect way to end. So thank you, Rebecca Blanton, for being with us today. And this concludes our first Gifted Tips from the DOE.